Poetry is often written to be read aloud, to savor the sounds and rhythms. The Grammy-winning jazz musician Luciana Souza takes things a step further and puts her favorite poetry to music, as she does in her newly released album, The Book of Longing.
My angel's upset, but I'm not allowed a trace of regret, for someone will use.
Luciana Souza's album features songs she wrote to the poetry of artists including Leonard Cohen. When she writes the music, she doesn't listen to Cohen's own recitations. She finds a way to make the words her own.
So what I do is that I memorize the poem, and then I walk around, driving, walking literally through the supermarket, and I just speak the words. And then eventually a rhythm comes. But I try to do it not by scanning the poem like you would do in a poetry class, you know, and finding the foot and the meter and all that stuff. Because music is different. You do have measures, and it happens in time. But song is different. It has to sound like a song. So then I start to just kind of derive the rhythm from it naturally. And then inevitably I either sit at the piano or grab a guitar or a percussion instrument, and then a groove comes. Or a note kind of speaks louder. Or I look at the words and I say, this has to feel like something that's resolving from tension to resolution.
I built my house beside the wood so I could hear you singing. And it was sweet and it was good and love was all beginning. Fare thee well, my nightingale, 'twas long ago I found you. Now all your songs of beauty fail, the forest closes round you.
When you're using the words of Leonard Cohen or Emily Dickinson or Edna St. Vincent Millay, how large do those characters loom for you? I mean, you know, I would imagine somebody like Leonard Cohen, whom you knew, would be honored to have you put music to one of his poems. But I wonder for you, does their legacy loom large? Is there ever a feeling of needing to really honor them? Or do you see it much more as a collaboration?
With Leonard, my previous record, I had set two of his poems to music, and I did ask him, and he said no three times, just like a good Jewish man would do, you know. Can I? No. Can I, please? No. And the third time, okay. And then he heard
good
the pieces.
For you for being insistent.
Well, I know about that. But the poetry doesn't need me. Leonard clearly doesn't need me to set anything of his to music. And neither does, you know, the dead Edna St. Vincent Millay or Christina Rossetti or Emily Dickinson. But it's more about the responsibility of setting this poem. Has anyone else done it before? So I do some kind of research. And then if I feel like I still have something else I want to say about this, this is not the right music. I need to write my own music for this thing. And these are now my words. So it's really about taking possession. That's how I feel about it. And it becomes mine.
The sun goes down behind a veil. 'Tis now that you would call me. So rest in peace, my nightingale, beneath the branch of holly. Fare thee well, my nightingale, I live but to be near you. Though you are singing somewhere still, I can no longer hear you.
So talk about one of your own compositions. There are three here that you wrote the poetry to and the music.
My poetry is really very simple, but it's almost list-like. You know, I write a word, and then that calls in another word and another word. It's not narrative.
The sea grows dark, the rising tide, like a prophet at dusk, you wait.
It's almost like, because I come from Bossa Nova, which is really, it sort of dictates everything in my life, Bossa Nova is more like a picture. It's not like a movie that with time and progression and narrative. It's really about looking at a photograph and describing it. So I think my poetry is like Bossa Nova in a way. And then when you listen to my music, it is Bossa Nova. So I never have left.
These are the days of long, long nights. These are the tables we set out to feast. These are the flags we wave. These are the flags we wave.
Since you have worked with the poetry of Elizabeth Bishop in the past, Pablo Neruda, and Emily Dickinson here, and Edna St. Vincent Millay to Leonard Cohen, how would you approach, say, Edna St. Vincent Millay differently than you would Pablo Neruda?
Neruda, without knowing that he's Chilean, his music for me, his poetry for me, was became music that was all in 3/4. And then when I started thinking about it, Brazilian music is mostly binary, it's mostly in 2, but Neruda's rhythm was all in 3, and the Spanish language for me is very much in 3/4. So then the whole record is in 3 and 6 and multiples of that, you know. And one interesting thing that happened on this record is when I was trying to set the Emily Dickinson, which my husband had gifted me a book, which he does often, and I'm so grateful for that. But he brought a big new edition, Harvard Press, of all these sort of annotated, sort of the kosher version of everything, like everything is in there. And I came across one that was numbered 419, and I called it We Grow Accustomed to the Dark, because that's the first line of the poem. And that one is all free form. It has no rhyme, and so the rhythm didn't come to me very clearly, but then I sort of imposed sort of a rock feel to it, which is so antithetical to everything I do. I mean, I'm not a rock and roll person, but it just felt so right, so grounding.
We grow accustomed to the dark when light is put away as when the neighbor holds the lamp to witness her goodbye.
But again, Lisa, I kind of fall in love and then I become obsessed and nothing else matters. There's no dinner, there's no picking up at school, there's just the poem. You know?
A moment we uncertain step for newness of the night, then fit our vision to the dark and meet the road erect. And so
when you approach a subject in an album like this, you call it the Book of Longing. The idea of longing or yearning, is that something that you approach differently with age? That you now have a son, you've been in the business a long time, and hopefully have many, many more albums to come. What does maturity have to do with this?
Oh, I think it has a lot. I've told people recently that this is my most important record. And I don't know if it's because it is my last one, and I don't mean this in a sad way.
Latest one.
It's my latest one, but it may be my last one. I mean, making records is a hard thing nowadays. And I'm not questioning my need to make art. I will always write, and I'll always be at home making music and singing. But producing, promoting, presenting this project, will I do another one? I don't know. And so this record feels final in a way that it is the most important thing I've done so far in my life. And I think it unites everything. I think it's me coming very much clean and open and empty. And the longing, the idea of longing is, it permeates everything I do because I've left a country many times. I've left Brazil many times. I've left people. I've lost my parents. I've lost friends. And so I'm okay also going to this place of sadness. I feel like we avoid it, but it's such a part of life and it brings so much of my humanity forward. This is what I want when I perform. This is what I want when I write music, when I sing live in front of people. I want us all to commune, and I want to be able to show this part of myself that I know lives in all of us, and hopefully it can touch and soothe people.
That's the part you have to remember when your fans say, please don't make this your last album.
Of course. No, I already have another one that I'm thinking about.
Excellent. Luciana Souza, thank you.
Thank you so much.
For if the darkness and corruption leave a vestige of the thoughts that once I had.
Brazilian musician and poet Luciana Souza. Her new album is called The Book of Longing. She's currently on tour and will be in California and New Mexico later this month. For a link to her website, go to hereandnow.org.